there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
We have been in a series. We're still in it. It's called The Journey. It's a series on discipleship, and we titled it The Journey because as we follow God, as we yield to Him as Lord and Savior, and as we are His disciples, and as a result of that, we go on a journey with Him. And this journey takes us through a number of different seasons and even spheres in our lives. And I want to explain that for a minute. In the book of Ephesians, Paul actually shows us different spheres. When you look at chapter 1, he mentions over 8 times that we are in Christ Jesus. And there's this thing about when we receive Christ as Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, we gain access. We are in Christ, and as we abide with Him, we have all of these benefits, all these things that God has promised that He begins to put in us. And the abiding sphere is the most important sphere for us because everything emanates from our time with God. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And I don't know about you guys, but if you tried to do things on your own gas, and how far does that go, right? It doesn't go very far. But then week 2, we talked about the church sphere, which is a really important environment that we are the church, those that are called out of this darkness. We are called into relationship with one another. And it's in this sphere, if you will, that we learn more and more about God. We learn how to relate to one another. Regardless of what our familial past is, whether we're first-generation Christian or not, we come to church, we are the church, we are a part of the body, we're called to be unified as the church, and God is imparting things to us, and we're modeling things together that perhaps would not be known in the home world or in the home sphere unless we modeled it here in the church. And so we're not perfect, but we really, really try to live out what God's word says in the most accurate way so that we collectively then can grow, be unified, and that spills over into our home sphere. And Paul talks about our home sphere in chapter 5 of Ephesians and even bleeds into chapter 6 a little bit. He talks about the fact that we learn things in the church world, and then we are called to live out relationally with one another in our family life, in our home sphere. And so he systematically kind of walks us through this journey. This week, we're going to talk about the world sphere. And what's so fascinating about this is if you're not in an abiding relationship with the Lord, and you're not connected within His family, it's really hard for you to interact with your own family and then go outside your own home and then actually conduct yourself as a servant of the Lord. They all build upon one another. And so the world sphere, what we want to talk about is where we work, where we live, where we play. Okay, that's kind of the focal point this morning when we address the world sphere. I want to ask you guys a question. Does anybody ever get stressed out when you travel? Like at the airport? I shared this before, a little bit of this story with you before, but the Lord reminded me this week of it when I was preparing for this message because it was such a failure on my behalf. So we're in Milan, Italy, Christy and I, flying out of Italy, and we're in this line at 5 a.m., at the airport, and there's all these lines of people waiting across, and the flight attendant standing there, she's a Lufthansa flight attendant, and she says, we're going to be a little delayed because all the computers are down. And so everybody's like, you've ever been there? It's like, oh, I got to wait. You know, I'm the most important person on the planet. Well, I'm standing here, Christy's standing here, and there's this Italian man over here, and he is piping off. Like he is just fiery and he's getting after this flight attendant. I can't believe he in his broken English. I can't believe that we have to wait and blah, 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 blah. And this poor gal is almost reduced to tears. And I'm standing there, and inside me, there's this volcano going. And Christy's like, she's grabbing me. Don't do it. You ever done that? I finally lose it. This is the world's fear. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. I could have walked over there and said to this guy, sir, we're all in this together. Let's just have a little grace and help this poor gal. We're all going to get on the airplane together. But instead, I leave here. I walk over to this guy. He's about this tall. I said, you need to shut up. Just like that. I lose it. Just completely lose my witness. Christy's over there. I cannot believe he just did that. So what does the flight attendant do? She makes me and this little Italian guy stand off to the side. We were the last two on the airplane. It's like, loser. You know, and had I been thinking about Matthew chapter 5, I might have responded a little differently. Anybody ever had an experience like that where you're like, afterwards, you're like, what did I do? Here's Matthew 5, 14 and 15. You are the light of the world. a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. No, I couldn't be hidden at all. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the airport. In the same way, listen to this. This is what's so convicting. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It is convicting. And look, Jesus sets the tone in the Beatitudes for how we're to live our lives and to conduct ourselves as Christians in this crazy world. And I don't know about you guys, but the only way that I know to be aware of my emotions when I start feeling uncomfortable or fearful or stressed about something is that I'm close enough to God to where his word comes to my heart before it escalates into some volcano, right? And Paul, in this series we've been following through in Ephesians 6, he really does address the world sphere. He talks about the world sphere. And I want to give you some context for this passage, because when you hear it, you might be like, wow, how does this fit? Well, in the time of Paul's writing, slavery was a world reality. It was a reality for the Jews, for the Christians, for the Romans, for the Greeks. It was a world reality. 50% of people that lived in Rome's society at the time of Christ were in slavery. And Paul right here, he's not condoning or glorifying slavery. He's trying to give the Christians vision and instruction on how to live their lives in such a way that they would bring glory and honor to God in spite of the circumstances that they found themselves in. That's the context for Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. I want to read it to you. Listen to the word. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. Now, you may be thinking, well, how does slave apply? I think the most easy translation that we can look at is the relationship between employee and employer. It's the closest thing that we have when we do our own heart inspection in terms of applying the word right here. So I want to start by looking at employees for a minute. So let's go back to 6:5, Ephesians 6:5, if you have your Bibles. So Paul says slaves, and the word in the Greek is doulos, and it's a fascinating word, but it essentially means a servant. But I want to read a definition that I wrote down. This is what it says. One who gives himself up to another's will, devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interests. Now think about it as an employee. Is that easy to do? Every one of us has our ideas on how we ought to do things, right? And yet we all work for someone else who has perhaps a different idea. And the word doulos in here is the same word that Paul uses in Philippians chapter 2. If you remember in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who in very nature was, who in being very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held onto. So this is Jesus who didn't consider that he could hold on to and grasp being God, but he emptied himself. He made himself nothing. And you know what the word is? Into a bond servant. It's the same word. So the model we have as we look at what Paul's talking about as employees and employers, we're to do the very same thing that Christ Jesus did and he lived out. And I'm certain that when the cross became very clear and very close in Jesus's earthly life, that he experienced some emotion. I am certain of that. He wasn't a robot. He was fully man and yet fully God, who emptied himself and made himself a servant. And that's the model and the picture that Paul is giving us as we live out our Christian lives in the world where we've been placed. That's the model. It's not easy. What did Jesus do? He obeyed. Paul says where to obey, to listen to attend to do what you're told with respect. Anybody struggle with that at your job? You ever grumbled and walked away? I don't like what they're doing. Right? Yet he tells us we're to serve wholeheartedly with a willingness and an attitude of that of Christ Jesus. You guys, the only way we can do this is through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? It's the only way. Because when we run in our flesh, we're far from this. We have to draw near to God so that we become his light, his salt on planet Earth. Days at work, I can tell you there have been days at work where I have felt like I want to run from the call that we all have. And I just want to let my flesh play out. But Paul says this in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Do you realize that? That when you're in the world and you're at work, it is the Lord Christ Jesus that you're serving by the attitude that you have when you respond to a coworker or to a boss. Challenging. Do you realize that work is good for us? As much as we grumble and we ache when we get up to go to work in the morning, it's good for us. And as Christians, we should be better workers than anyone else because we have the Spirit of God living in us. Right? And I love it. Paul's basically saying, don't work hard when your boss is looking. Work hard all the time. Anybody do that? Like, I'm going to turn it up a notch or two so that I can get the praise of my boss. Anybody in here, you guys are all liars, right? We've all done it, right? Well, the heart is, what Paul's telling us is, no, we do it for the Lord. And I thought about this, and I can't miss this opportunity. And really, my heart as a pastor and a shepherd is to encourage and exhort. But here's what I would say. If you're drawing unemployment today and you have the ability, the capability to work, there is a tidal wave of scripture that ought to bring conviction if you open your Bible. We're in a culture right now where people are looking for ways not to work. And yet God has created us and wired us to work so that we can live our lives transparently before the world so that they can meet Jesus Christ and come to his saving knowledge and grace and repent and become part of the kingdom. Work is important. Okay, let's talk about employers for a minute, bosses. Verse 9, and masters, this is Paul, treat your slaves or your employees in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, and there is no favoritism within him. That's pretty challenging. Do you realize that Paul says that employers and employees have equal obligation toward one another in how they treat one another? Now, the roles and responsibilities may be different, but your obligation on either end is to come with the love of Christ, to lay your lives down and to serve one another, because that's what Jesus did. Paul says this in Colossians 4:1. Masters, provide your employees with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. This is pretty direct, sobering text when we look at the condition of our heart at times. And I know some of you guys are rocking it in your workplace, whether you're a boss or you're an employee. But we've constantly got to remind ourselves and look to Scripture so that we don't slip into ruts that are dishonoring to God and they blow our witness, that we don't go to the airport and make a fool out of ourselves, right? Leadership is not a privilege to be abused, rather a responsibility to be used for God's good and glory. Did you hear that? It's a responsibility to be used for God's good and his glory. Matthew 23, I read this and it really, really hit me pretty hard. Matthew 23, I'm going to read it to you, starting in verse 11, just a little context. Jesus, this is the chapter on the seven woes. And so Jesus he's talking to his disciples and he's warning them about the religious leaders, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, because they're saying all the things on the outside and yet on the inside, they're not even living it out themselves. And when I think about this, when I talk about our witness, that whether we're an employee or an employer, a boss or someone who reports to someone else, a supervisor, whatever that role is, Jesus is addressing the heart. Like they were literally binding people up with all these things to do, and yet they were unwilling to do them themselves. He says this. He says, the greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And this is a principle that is woven throughout Scripture, modeled and lived out through the life of Jesus Christ, all the way to death on the cross. And if we are his followers and his disciples, then we are on a journey to die to our flesh, to take our junk to the cross, so that we are humble enough to serve others and lift them up. It's a high calling. It's a high calling. Christian leadership should always be marked by humility and service to one another. regardless of what role, what influence, what responsibility that you've been given. This is Paul addressing how we're to live and conduct our lives in a world that is going the opposite direction. Our workplace is our mission field. It's where we get to reveal Christ-likeness, what God is doing in our lives to people that are hungry and thirsty, that are looking for something else. I love Jeremy's meditation this morning about looking for something constant that doesn't shift and change. That is so true of the world that we're in today. And if we aren't the rock, if we don't represent, if we aren't the light of Christ, then they have no hope of finding the rock. Another part of our world sphere is politics. Yep, he's going there. Politics. So Philippians, as you listen to this text, I want you to think about it, okay? This is Paul. They call it a prison epistle. It's a letter that Paul wrote while in a jail cell of some sort in Rome towards the latter part of his life. He's writing a letter to the church in Philippi. Here's what he says. It's chapter 3, starting in verse 17. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Okay, Paul is not giving us lip service right here. Paul is speaking from a jail where his attitude is fixed upon God and not his circumstances. So when he says this, he has real credibility to what he's saying. He's not showing up as the boss later on and saying, you guys do all the work. I'm just going to come and, you know, tell you what to do. Here's what he says. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. He's witnessing this firsthand by his Roman jailers and those that are around him in a very political society. Paul is drawing from his experience, and now he's imparting that to us. He says, their destiny is destruction. He's in tears over their destiny. Our work world, our world is our mission field. Are we in tears over the destiny of people who are lost? This is convicting. Their destiny is destruction. Their God, little g, is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but listen to Paul, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's powerful, that text. Do you realize that our citizenship is in heaven? Do you believe that, Christians? Our first constitution is the Bible, it's Scripture. It isn't our U.S. Constitution. While we reap incredible rewards from our Constitution to live, we are blessed to live in America. Our first constitution is Scripture. And this supersedes every form of government and every man on planet Earth. Do you realize that? I am blown away when I think about for centuries upon centuries, governments and leaders have come and gone. Good, bad, ugly, crazy, nasty, evil, all kinds of different leadership, governments, and roles. What still stands today? The Word of God. The historical, orthodox truth that God has laid out for his people to live out in a broken, fallen world. It isn't by accident that you are here today as a Christian, living in 2022 in this broken world that we're in, you are called to be salt and light. I am called to be salt and light. We are not here by accident. You did not move to North Idaho to get away from the crazy, because the crazy's here. Okay, sorry, I don't want to rain on your parade. You were brought here because God has kingdom work for you, to use you, to act through you, to reach a dying and a lost world. It's a privilege we have, right? Yeah, you can clap. It's all right. This is what Peter says. Peter's got some street creds when he writes this. Some think that when Peter writes 1 Peter, that he's actually in Rome about the time that Nero is ramping up and really persecuting the Christians real hard. This is what he says. At some level, he's experiencing and he's writing to a people that are experiencing some really hard things in their world sphere. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. What? Whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. There's that word again. As God's servants. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Challenging. Paul talks about it in the book of Romans as well. God has placed all authority in place for his purposes and his glory. We don't understand it all. We don't see it all. And if we're all honest, the things going on in our culture today, the things going on in the government today can stress us out, right? Can make us all feel pretty amped, right? But remember, Paul in Ephesians 5 and 6 says to us that we're to submit to Christ. We're to submit to authorities out of reverence for Christ, out of honoring the will and the heart of Jesus Christ, the fact that he died for our sins so that we could live for him to accomplish his mission here on earth. We're to do that with reverence and fear. Jesus could have rebelled, but he didn't. He had every ample opportunity. He humbled himself to the governing authorities that whipped him and beat him to the point of death. Here's what I want to say. This is a misnomer that we all sometimes lose. We can't expect our government to be Christian, even though there are Christians in our government. Do you understand that? This is not the kingdom of God in America. The kingdom of God exists and transcends all nations on planet earth because it is heavenly. Our citizenship is not attached to this world, even though we've been given a mission field here in our world. Here's the deal. We need the wisdom and the power of God to know when to say no to governing authorities that are asking us to do something that would violate Scripture. There's a great picture of this in Acts 4. If you remember, Peter and John, they go into the temple, they heal this guy, and the crowds are going crazy, and the officials come to him and they tell him to shut up. Long story short, you can't preach about this Jesus. What does Peter say? You guys remember? Is it better for me to obey you or to obey my Father in heaven? Okay, he did it respectfully. There are ways to respond, even in the political pressure that we may face, there are ways to respond where you are still a valid witness for your Lord Jesus Christ without picking up a attitude that is completely rebellious and in your face and screaming. Like when I was in the airport, I brought myself down to this guy's level and completely blew my witness. Have you done that in arguments about politics? Fighting for your freedom? You know what the freedom is that we've been given? Our salvation in Christ Jesus. There's nowhere in this book that says everything in my life is going to go easy and I'm going to get everything that I want and I'm going to be completely unpersecuted and I'm going to live in a land where everybody loves each other and we all prosper. This side of heaven, it doesn't exist because wherever you go, there you are. You take your broken stuff with you. You know, I was thinking about the term slavery. Do you realize that if this world lived a authentic gospel-centered life, there would be no slavery whatsoever? None. There would be no platform for slavery because we would serve one another and love one another as Christ did. And this world would be radically different. But guess what? We're the change agents that are called to bring that life to this earth as long as we have breath here. Amen? It's our mission field. Neighbors. Anybody have a neighbor that is challenging to you in here? Hands are kind of going up. Careful, they may come to this church. Watch it. Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Know your neighbor to be a light to them, right? To be a light to them. You're on mission. And here's what I would say about our neighbors. Guys, if your neighbor is not a believer, don't judge them because they live like the world. Don't expect them to be anything different than the world they live in if they're outside of Christ Jesus. So your role is to love them to a place where they would ask enough questions to want to receive Christ, right? That's our call. Love and serve with what gifts you have. I love the Good Samaritan story, not because it makes us all feel good, but because the Samaritan who was the enemy of the Jews that Jesus used as an illustration had mercy. He took pity on the guy that was beat on the side of the road. Do you have pity and mercy on a neighbor that's lost, that irritates you? Or like Paul in his cell in Rome, crying over the people that have no vision for their future life because their life is a heap of destruction? Do you have the compassion of Christ for people that you don't like? The world's fear is not a pass card, is it? Well, I got my family's fear down. Then you go to work and it's a whole different game, right? It's not a pass. Peter says this, 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks with the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that good? That God gets the praise and the glory as we live our lives out as transparently and with as much humility as we possibly can. That's all God's asking us to do. Okay, last thing, hobbies and sports. Got some good stories in here, right? Anybody coach Little League? Have you ever lost it coaching Little League? This guy, he's a dear friend. I'd known him years ago. We coached Little League together for like 4 years. His name's Dan. I won't tell you his last name. And Dan is this grace-filled man. He was a Christian. And I was this type A, I love baseball. And I'm like, my son's going to be the greatest baseball, right? So we're coaching Little League. And in year four, Dan comes up to me in the most gracious way. He taps me on the shoulder and he says, Jim, you know, I think you need to think about not coaching next year. But you know what? He did it with love. And I'm like, wow, am I really that overbearing? He's like, yep, you are. Look, sports, hobbies, hunting, fishing, all the things that we have the privilege to do here are all great things. There's nothing wrong with any of them, providing we keep them in perspective, right? Your sports are designed for you to share Christ with other people. Do you realize that? That's what Scripture says. You're in the world. You're supposed to let your light shine. So how do you do that? Live transparently. Don't be a preachy, beat someone over the head, judgmental Christian. Don't be obnoxious. Just live your life out before them, and the Holy Spirit will use that to reach their hearts. And then sometimes they're going to ask you to give an answer for the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. And what does Scripture say? We're to do it with gentleness and respect. That's why you have sports. Remember, you are on display, right? There's nothing wrong with our hobbies and our sports. Nothing whatsoever. Nothing. They can teach us teamwork. They can give us all kinds of great tools for life as long as we don't let them consume us. Amen? You guys okay? It's good, though. The word's good, right? Sometimes you get a spanking from it, but sometimes you get encouraged. And I don't know what that is for you today. I hope you guys got both, because I have. It's good. Question as we close here. What in the world sphere pulls you away from your abiding church and home spheres? What in your world sphere? Is it your job? Is it hunting for that elusive elk? Is it football on Sunday mornings? The Seahawks are terrible. Come on. I mean, what gets in the way? How will you be intentional with the opportunities that God gives you? How will you be intentional? New neighbor rides over. Christy and I just moved. Her name's Shelly. She rides over yesterday on her horse. Tony, you were there. Just walked up, said hi. She was super warm and super nice. Didn't run over there and tell her she needs to get saved. I don't even know where she is spiritually. Maybe she's a believer. But she's God's daughter, and we need to love on her, right? Who has God put in your life that he wants you just to be you as a Christian? Don't put on your Christianese. Just be the Christian you are. Amen? I just think about this. Sometimes we feel like we have to convert people. Anybody in here feel the responsibility? You got to convert them. No, you don't. That's the Holy Spirit's job. All you got to do is be you as a Christian, right? In the world that you've been put in. It's the same for all of us. Look, we all have opportunities to serve. I just wanted to let you guys know this year, in the past, we've done Trunk or Treat in Spirit Lake to be a light in that community. This year, we're not doing it because of building timing and commitment. We didn't know when we were going to be in the building, so we're going to take a pass on it this year. But there are opportunities for you to go serve in the community. You could go down to Post Falls or to our Hayden campus and serve at the Harvest Festival there. There are opportunities. Look, let's just encourage one another to be salt and light, to be Christian in the community that God's planted us in. Amen? Let's stand and worship.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.